Reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29, the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we come to look at God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we are utterly dependent on you for everything. At harvest time, we are reminded that we are dependent on you for our food source. And Father God, we are also dependent on you for understanding of your word. So by your Spirit, may you help us understand your word. May you speak to us, not the words of man, but your words. In Christ's name, for his glory alone. Amen. I think autumn is one of my favorite times of the year, especially when growing up in South Africa, where it's either sort of hot or less hot, or dry and more dry. It's great being to see in the UK, to see different seasons. Leaves, the colors, I love the fact that there's still that the sunshine, but it's nice and crisp and cold, not cold, but fresh. And it's a wonderful time. Talking to my children, they just spoke about harvest that we sort of celebrate, and it's going to obviously be a bit different this year. Kept going on to Halloween, and we as Christians can interpret that in a different way and celebrate God, his light coming into the world when winter's coming. But harvest is really shows the center of things, as the farmers prepare to harvest the crop, and as we enter winter where there's little growth. We really come down to, we can't escape it really, there are farms around us. I think growing up often I didn't always think about the farms and thought the local supermarket, that's where our food came from. A man called Paul Harvey, I think he's linked in with some agricultural association, but he said, he might not have been the first to say it, he said, "All of humanity, with all our achievements, gifts and art," I'm not getting this quote totally right, "but it all comes down to 6 inches of topsoil and the fact that it rains." And so if we take away that topsoil and the rain, we are left with nothing. Now, Paul Harvey was wise in saying that, but he's not the first person to say it, because Psalm 147, don't worry, we're looking at Mark, but I just want to read to you Psalm 147, verses 8 to 9 says this. "He covers the skies," talking of God, "with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call." And so he is the provider of all things. You might remember thinking also as well as, you know, the farm's good for vegetables, but I like meat, I like sweets as a kid. There must be a number of things, if you should name your favorite food that you like. And you might look at the obvious crops. I mean, we look at wheat and corn are impressive. Where I grew up in South Africa, it was seemed to be, I think what's brilliant about farmers here, they can diversify. I read somewhere that was because it got to do with World War I and II, where people wanted to change to make us as an island and more self-sufficient, and we can. But in South Africa, it was either sugarcane was the main thing where I grew up, cane fields, and we also had dairy. We had a lot of maize, and more inland were sunflowers. get the sunflower oil from there. But sugarcane was the major thing that sort of put Durban, the city I grew up on, the map. In fact, we had pretty impressive buildings that house sugar, mountains of sugar, many stories high. Buildings that were the shape of sugar, and actually the entire buildings were on wheels because of expansion and contraction. It was this huge arch, and you could go on a tour and just look up higher than this church roof. It was just stories high, mountains of sugar. And I remember being taken on the tour, and you can see this man had practiced this, and he said, he said, does anyone know what would happen if you had to sort of go and jump in at the top there? And people discussed, and he said, you'd sink to the bottom. He says, I hear it's a sweet way to die, but I wouldn't try it. And so you get sugar. I remember speaking to a farmer, thinking, I said to him, well, look, you know, now that you at church, was a sugarcane farmer, with people not using sugar so much anymore, because of sweeteners and things like that, what does that mean for you? He says, look, the Coca-Cola company buy 40% of our sugar. There's sweet companies. There's things we don't even think about. Yet, whatever crop we look around, I had the privilege of speaking to Arthur, a local farmer, is preparing for this, and he said to me, he drew my attention to a crop that we take for granted, a crop that we just walk over, a crop that we don't even see. And if I had to take you away from a cornfield and turn you around to and say, this is the most important crop, and I would show you an open field, and then I'd show you another open field and say, this is the most important crop. Do you know what it is? It's grass. Did not think about that, but speaking to Arthur, he helped me think about these things. Because grass, and they do plant it to an extent and look after it, but generally a lot of it grows on its own. But it's without grass, you wouldn't have cows. Cows produce many products. Without grass, you wouldn't have sheep. In fact, if I had to take you into our kitchen or your kitchen and go through your cupboard, you can name things about seeing what comes from farms. So your breakfast cereal, there's different cornflakes or whatever the case might be. That is a crop, whether it be flour, which we normally think about with wheat. But if I had to take and show you clothes, even cotton is a blend that goes into many of our clothes, but so is wool, and that comes from sheep. Chocolate, it would be, is obviously comes from a cocoa bean, but it's also dairy thanks to cows. Coffee this morning, I don't know how I would have done without a cup of coffee this morning, that's a crop. But grass is a thing that influences, as I said, all sheep and all byproducts. In fact, penicillin is produced by whey, which comes from cow's milk, which comes from the cows, which comes from grass. So we would not have many of our antibiotics if it wasn't for grass. Grass is something that we just glance over, and that psalm said, God makes the grass grow. If I were to take my children as a treat to McDonald's, think about what would not be there if it wasn't for grass and other products. In fact, I could clear out your whole cupboard and show you stuff that comes from the farm, except for one item. Do you know what that would be? Only thing left in your cupboard would be salt, which was never alive. I mean, it does come from the ground and the ocean, but salt, which I wouldn't recommend a diet of just salt. All we would have is salt. So without that, we would be dead. And so all we need to thank God for is that 6 inches of topsoil that produces grass and other crops, and the fact that it rains. We can't get away from the fact that first of all, we need to remember that God is the provider of all things, and whether you believe in Him or not, throughout a society, He is the one that gives us that rain and that soil. So this harvest, we want to first of all reflect on the fact that God is the provider. and thank him in all things that he has given us everything. Reading that was read, Mark 4, speaks about the seed growing beneath the soil. I'm going to read verse 27. Night and day, whether he grows or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, and the full grain, and then the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he comes and puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Now that's talking about farming, and it's a reminder of the miracle. And so again, speaking to this farmer friend of mine, I spoke to him, and he said there was a crop they thought they were done for. And I remember speaking to the family early on in the year, and just really the worry, and because you don't know what's going on beneath the soil. And then rains came, and he said, he used the word miracle. He said a miracle took place underneath the soil as the grain came up. Now, we're familiar with farming. Jesus, probably not as familiar as people in Jesus' time, but we're more familiar than if we were living in the city. We do see it around us. And Jesus used this picture, not just, we know that the psalm tells us that he's the provider of all things, but have a look at the first verse. He was teaching something. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. The man scatters seed on the ground, and then he talks about farming. The kingdom of God is eventually a place, but it starts with a special relationship. It's God's people in relationship with him. Eventually we'll be in God's place under his rule, but right now it starts here. And so it's people. It's Christians. It's the church. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the farmers. They work hard, but this passage is saying that it's the soil that does a lot of work. They will fertilize it, and they will check on it, but sometimes they're powerless to see what happens. And this shows us that there's growth that takes place, a miracle beneath the soil with seed, but with people. And so we haven't been able to meet in buildings for a while, and I think it's one of the first times. I'm not too sure what happened during the plague, but I think globally it's one of the first times that this experience has impacted the whole world. People have gone through much suffering. There'll be people you know that have we've lost people due to this disease, some old, some young. There's been funerals that have taken place. It's affected people with financially, with the jobs, and it's been a real struggle. But here we're told that God will continue to help Christians grow. So we've had an experience of when you haven't been able to meet in the church building, and we talk about the church as in the building. And do you ever do this thing? Oh, I don't know how to do it the other way around. When you're a kid, I don't know if it's just a thing growing up, you cross your hands together, you go, here's the church, here's the steeple, here's the door, but where are all the people? And then you flick it around and you have the people inside. Okay, so I see some familiar face. What it should be, and it won't catch on as well, is you go, here's the church building, here's the church door, here's the church steeple, and here's the church. It's the people. The church are the people. And we are like that seed. God does the growing. Now, that little seed, night and day it sprouts, it goes through much adversity. It's beneath the soil, there's harsh elements, cold, rain, there is all sorts of things that threaten it, yet it grows beneath the soil and produces a wonderful crop. Now friends, if you have to go and look around do an experiment of how many different signs we've seen for COVID-19. I took a few on my phone of keeping your distance, stop, think, watch out for each other. Do you have these symptoms before you enter? It's a real reminder of the suffering that's gone on. I'm not too sure if you see there's a sign that's outside the library, so near the bowling club in Audley, if you're coming from the shops towards the church. And it gets me every time I see it. It's a It's a couple. It's a one of those road signs that talks. It's got the silhouette of the old couple walking. If you notice this one, one of them's missing. It's someone's peeled it off or it's come off. I think it's the man that's missing. And it's just every time it speaks to me, it's of loss. It's just a road sign, but it reminds me of the tragedy and loss. You know, just think if someone's lost a partner and they walk past that sign every time, it must speak out to them. And we will go through suffering. So look around, you see the signs of COVID-19 reminding us that we're going through a hard time, the world's going through a hard time. We as Christians are affected by it, whether it be the disease or financial implications. We're affected by death, and there's many other things that keep affecting us. Yet we're told that seed will still grow and there'll be a harvest. And so it says at the end of verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts it in the sickle because the harvest has come. So this harvest, as we think about the harvest, we look back and see that God is the provider. But we also see there is a greater harvest to come when God will come and bring his people into his physical kingdom at the end of the age. Through whatever tough times people go through, he is growing and enduring you. And so here's a reminder that God is not only the provider, but he is the one that grows the kingdom. We can do our best efforts to share, to pray for people, but he will keep people coming to his kingdom, and he'll keep you growing, no matter what adversity happens, so that one day there'll be that harvest. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes, puts an end to all those things, there would no longer be a need for signs of warning about disease or a reminder of loss. He'll gather us in his arms, wipe away the tears of pain from our eyes, whatever we're going through. As we're told in Revelation, he'll hold us and say, there, it's all over now. This is the end. You are home. And so let's reflect this harvest, that God is the provider. He's the one that grows us as Christians, as the harvest points towards the ultimate harvest of his return. Amen.